You are listening to Punk News Podcast number 395. Let's kick it off with an episode of Punk's Points, and then we'll get into the podcast proper.
And welcome back to the show that tests your knowledge of punk rock trivia and therefore measures your worth as a human. Get ready for Punk's Point. My name is Dynamite Adam White, and I will be your MC tonight. The rules tonight are simple. You are going to be asked a series of questions about punk rock. There are three rounds, one easy, one medium, and one hard, along with a final question where you will wager your points, and the person with the most points at the end wins. What do you win? Probably nothing. We don't have any money. Any dispute is going to be settled by our honorable judge, the useless trivia expert, Mr. Tom Trauma, who is kind of like Judge Dredd, but way less British. So, let's get going, and let's give it up for our host, Mr. John Gentile.
Hello, Adam. Thanks for the introduction. Welcome back to Punk's Points, the Punk News Podcast game where you can win fabulous cash and prizes. Except for you can't win cash, but you can win prizes. We are here with...
And they're not that fabulous.
They are very fabulous tonight. I will say our gifts tonight come courtesy of Alternative Tentacles Records, AJ Man Records, and Anxious and Angry Records. So we have some fabulous prizes for you tonight, and you should always check out AlternativeTentacles.com, AJManRecords.com, and AnxiousandAngry.com, where you can get fabulous records of your own. We are here with three contestants, two new and one returning champion. Let's say hello to one of our first challengers. We are here with Trevor. Trevor, how are you tonight?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Trevor, we're doing great. Trevor, what's your username so the listeners can identify you with a commenter?
Oh, like on the website?
On the website, Trevor.
No, I'm not really a commenter on the website,
well,
but
fair
I will
enough, Trevor.
Occasionally
fair
chime
enough.
In on Facebook.
Trevor,
that means he's somebody we all hate and he's afraid to say it.
Trevor,
hey, what up?
Trevor, would you say that you're an old school punk rocker, a new school punk rocker, or somewhere in between? What's your strongest suit?
I'm probably a new school guy. I'm a young guy. I'm 25, so I'm kind of like in the Ricky category.
Trevor, you're not up in Canada, are you?
No, I'm in Southern California.
Good, because I thought you might have been someone else, and I'm glad you're not that person. Our second challenger, we are here with Alex. Alex, what's your username at the site?
Same. I don't really comment on the site so much.
Alex, are you a new school, old school, medium school guy? Where's your range of expertise when it comes to punk rock?
Say zero expertise, but a little bit of everything. I'm like mediocre at everything.
Fair enough. Alex, how did you get into punk rock? What was your first introduction to the punk rock world?
I would say like early high school, like ninth grade, listening to, I don't know, like Blink-182 and NoFX.
Fair enough. Alex, what did you think of that new NoFX song that just came out? Were you pro, con? Where do you stand?
I can't remember the last new NoFX song I heard.
You won't remember this one either, trust me.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Was it the one with
Stephen Hawking?
Hawking, yeah.
Indeed it was.
Where his head kept popping out.
And we are also here with our returning champion, David, who blew away the competition earlier. Trevor and Alex, you guys have got a real fighter on your hands here. We are with David D. David, didn't you interview Panty Division for the site a little while ago?
Yeah. I interviewed Chris Freeman about 2 years ago, I think.
Well, listen, people, if you are into Panty Division, David's interview is a must. It is the most extensive interview with Panty Division and also the most intense and I would say revealing interview with the group. David, you killed that interview. Welcome back to the game. Are you excited? Are you nervous to go against two fresh, hungry new competitors?
Just happy to be a part of the game.
Well, fair enough. Fellas, let's get started. As Adam White said, there's an easy, medium, and hard category. Adam White, what's our first category?
We are starting off in the easy round, and the first category in easy is the Ramones.
Trevor, first question to you. Name any original Ramon.
Marky Ramon?
I'm afraid that's incorrect. Answers would be Johnny, Joey, Tommy, or Dee. Alex, you can name any non-original Ramon.
Marky Ramon.
Correct. Other answer would be CJ, Richie, or Elvis. David, Last one to you. Name the final Ramones album.
Adios Amigos.
Correct for 5 points. Adam, what's our next category?
We are coming back with the British Punk Invasion.
Trevor, first question to you for 5 points. True or false, Sid Vicious was an original member of the Sex Pistols.
True.
I'm afraid that's false. Sid Vicious joined after, was it Adam White? Paul Cook was kicked out of the band?
Glenn Matlock.
Next one to Alex. Alex, true or false, before The Clash, Mick Jones was in a band with Chrissy Hyde of the Pretenders.
False.
I'm afraid that's true. That band, did that band ever have a name? It did. What was the name of that band? We'll look that up later. That was true.
David, Mike Hunt's Honorable Discharge.
There you go. David, last question to you. Joe Strummer, true or false? He was born in Ankara, Turkey.
True.
That is correct for 5 points. Okay. Next category, Adam White, please.
We just had a week about him, John. Our next category is Jello Biafra.
Okay, so I hope you all read up on Jello Biafra, because it will pay off if you did. First question to Trevor. Trevor, what was Jello Biafra's first punk band?
Oh, man.
Don't overthink it, Trevor.
No clues. No clues, host.
Trevor, do you have an answer?
I don't.
That was the Dead Kennedys. Next question to Alex for 5 points. Alex, fill in the blank. Fresh fruit for?
Rotting vegetables.
Correct for 5 points. That's the Dead Kennedys' first album. David, what is Jello Biafra's record label called?
Alternative Tentacles.
Correct for 5 points. Tom Trauma, do we have a tally of right now for the easy round?
Yes. The returning champion, not surprisingly, is sitting pretty at 15 points. Alex, not far behind at 10. And Trevor is treading water at 0. But I suspect I'm expecting big things from him in the second half.
Well, that's
God.
Trevor's going to come swinging back in the medium round. Adam White, what round are we in and what's the category?
So as the medium round, this is 10 points per answer. The first category in the medium round is punk pseudonyms.
Okay, and the first question goes to Trevor. Trevor, who is John Graham Mellor?
I do not know.
That's Joe Strummer. For 10 points, we go to Alex. Alex, who is James Osterberg?
Joey Ramone.
Close, it's Iggy Pop. Last one to David of this round. David, who is Douglas Glenn Colvin?
Didi Ramone.
Correct for 10 points. Adam White, what's our next category?
Boy!
Okay.
That's all I'm going
to
give you.
Here's where it gets challenging. First one to Trevor. Trevor, Lars Fredriksson has an oi band named Oxley's Midnight Runners. What band is that band named after?
I don't know.
That would be Dexy's Midnight Runners. Of course, Tom Trauma, you know the original band of Dexy's Midnight Runners. What was the name of that punk band, Tom Trauma?
I'm sorry, say again, Jeff?
Dexy's Midnight Runners evolved out of an English punk band. What was that English punk band?
Really?
The Killjoys.
I don't know.
The Killjoys. Next question.
Okay, you stumped me. You stumped me, dude. You stumped me.
Next question goes to Alex. Alex, Coxbar's first English tour was with what pub rock group?
I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say the Damned.
Close. The Small Faces. Last question goes to David. David, what famous, singularly named alt-rock singer auditioned for Slaughter and the Dog?
Morrissey.
Correct for 10 points.
Keyword being Slaughter.
Adam White, what's our next category?
This next category, John, is called the punk hip hop connection.
Okay, I know Trevor's going to come back with this one, come back strong. Trevor, I'm feeling it. Trevor, what member of NWA covered Should I Stay or Should I Go?
I have no fucking clue.
That would be Ice Cube, also known as Adam White. Ice Cube's real name?
I don't know that, John.
O'Shea Jackson. Next question goes to Alex. Alex, Ice-T famously covered The Exploited with what heavy metal band?
Is that Anthrax?
Close. It was Slayer, of course. Tom Trauma. What hip hop group does Anthrax famously record with?
Public Enemy.
Correct. Last question of this round, this category goes to David. David, the Tom Tom Club famously referenced what MC in their song "Genius of Love"?
Grandmaster Flash.
Excellent guess, but
Great
not
era.
Curtis Blow. Okay, now Tom Trauma, where do we stand at points wise?
I think Trevor knows where he stands, so I'm not going to say it. And I think
Tom, can let you me stop go. Insulting our people sorry. That come to play the game.
He's having fun. That's all that really matters.
That was a great, sure that was a great desperation noise.
That was a rough round for you too, Alex. Trevor and Alex are where they were, 10-0, and David has got a strong lead at 35.
Well, listen, anything can happen in the hard round.
15, it's true. This, you guys, really? Listen, everybody is within striking distance of the last round. As long as David's mind goes blank, you two are totally in this.
Adam White, what's our first category?
So in the hard category, that is 15 points, the first category is Malcolm McLaren.
Okay, first question goes to Trevor. Trevor, what band did Malcolm McLaren claim to manage before he managed Sex Pistols?
The Ramones. I don't know.
Good guess. New York Dolls. Same part of town. Next question goes to Alex. Alex, what band did Malcolm McLaren manage after the Sex Pistols?
Adam and the Ants.
Oh, very close. Bow Wow Wow. He didn't.
Well, that was after Adam and the Ants.
Actually, we
you might have to look that up. The judge might have to look that up.
I think that might be accurate. Let's have the judge look that up, Alex.
Unfortunately, I'm on it.
So our judge looked at Alex. Good answer. Good answer. David, next question to you. What music video did Malcolm McLaren claim introduced record scratching and jump rope to a mainstream American audience?
Eminem?
No, the answer is Buffalo Gals.
Right, yeah.
Okay, Adam White, what's our next category? Meanwhile, Alex, we're looking up that answer, and I think Alex is right about that, because I know we'll go to the next category. Adam White, what's the next
John, category? If your questions are wrong, I don't know what to fucking believe anymore.
I'll tell you. Adam White.
Okay, so this next category, John, is Bow Wow Wow.
Okay, the first question goes to Trevor. Trevor, Malcolm McLaren drafted the original rhythm section of Bow Wow Wow from what band?
Do not know this.
Adam and the Ants. Next one goes to Alex. Alex, lead singer Annabella Lewin's mother was English, but her father was what nationality?
South African?
Burmese. And a last question goes to David. David, the original singer of Bow Wow Wow was Boy George. When he was in Bow Wow Wow, what was his name?
Could you repeat it? You came in and out.
Boy George was the original singer in Bow Wow Wow. What was his name while he was in Bow Wow Wow? And how many times do I say Bow Wow Wow in one sentence?
George Smith.
Close. Lieutenant Lush. Lieutenant Lush. Tom Trauma, do we have an answer for that?
I have an answer because I am better at Google than Tom Trauma.
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Here we go. This was, I would say that, well, here, I'll read you this and then you decide where you fall on this, John. So
Tom's a judge.
Tom's a judge. All right. Here you go. McLaren was approached by Adam Ant to manage Adam and the Ants following their debut album release in 1979. Shortly thereafter, three members of the band left to form Bow Wow Wow under McLaren's management. But McLaren continued. Here you go. He continued to manage Ant as he found new band members for Adam and the Ants.
Gotta be good then.
That was
Alex that gave me that answer.
That's on the fucking line. I would give it to him.
Yeah, that was Alex, right?
Alex, excellent answer. What does Alex Trebek say whenever the judges like correct it? Like he has like a smarmy smile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've got a smarmy smile for you, Alex. Good job, Alex.
I like I like when people get him wrong. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. No, you're not. We know you're not sorry. Stop saying you're sorry.
What my mother pointed out to me once, I'm like, he's always like so confident. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. The answer was, you know, like Trinidad and Tobago. Oh, no. And it's like, my mom's like, you know, he's got the answers right there in front of him. But like, he acts like he knows it, but the answer's right there. Anyway, Adam, like, what's our final category in the hard section?
Final category in the hard section is punk producers.
Okay. First question goes to, Trevor. John Cale is most famous for playing in what band?
I don't know.
That would be the Velvet Underground. Next question goes to Alex. Alex, what landmark proto-punk album did John Cale produce?
I don't know.
That would be the first Stooges album. Last question here goes to David. David, who produced the last Sublime album?
The last what album?
Sublime album. The album by Sublime.
Paul Leary.
Correct. Excellent answer. Of course, but Paul Leary was in the Butthole Surfers. Tom Trauma, what is our current point roundup?
Okay. We got Alex sitting at 25. David, still catchable at 50. Trevor has nothing, but I think we allow him to have a little bit for his bet on Final Jeopardy, don't we?
I think we do. I think we do. I think that's,
How it works on the show, but I can't remember how. Or, yeah, as long as you're... Oh, I don't remember. Don't ask me. I'm watching.
Well, here's the category. So you can each decide how much you want to bet in this final question. The category is Adam White. What's our final category?
The final category of Punk's Points tonight is Crass.
Okay, now think about it.
Surprise, surprise.
Alex, I mean, I'm sorry, not Alex. David, how much would you like to bet?
Zero.
Zero. All right.
Interesting.
Next goes to Alex. How much would you like to bet?
If I have 25, I don't know, 24?
You can't catch him at 24. You got to go for 25, dude. You got to go for it. You got to go for it.
25 then. Yeah, 25 it is.
And of course, Trevor, we'll let you take some out on credit. We'll give you up to 25 that you can bet with if you'd like. Or you can say zero if you want. What would you like, Trevor?
It's not real money.
Yeah. Is Trevor there? Oh, I think maybe we lost Trevor. Well, listen, Trevor, thank you for playing. But we still do have David and Alex, correct? You guys are both there, right?
Alex,
yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, all right, here's our final question. I hope Trevor didn't get too depressed. Trevor, thank you for playing. We appreciate you having you on, and we hope to have you back again. David and Alex, this question goes to you both, and you can email me the answer. The band name Crass was taken from a line from a famous glam rock song. What was the name of that song?
Can you repeat that one more time, John?
Yes, I can. The band name Crass was taken from a line of a famous glam rock song. What was the name of that song? And while we're waiting for them to answer, Tom Trauma, how have our contestants done today? Have they done well? Are you impressed with their knowledge and their skill?
You know, they knew some, that last Sublime question, I would have had no clue with. You know, I'm strong in like the classic punk stuff, but not like the hip hop stuff. I'm not too good on that either. So I think they overall did very well, John.
I agree. I think it did well. I think maybe next time we'll play, we'll have some more newer questions, like Against Me questions, Novak style questions, those kinds of things. And our answer is in. Here
Link,
is
Blink 182 questions.
Here is David's answer. Well, actually, let's do our challenger first. Alex. Alex's answer is Ziggy and the Spiders from Mars. Tom Trauma, the actual name of the song is Ziggy Stardust. What's your ruling on that?
Ooh. That's a tough one. Did David get it right?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
That's well, I'd like to know if David got it right, because if David got it right... Then it takes, you know, if he got it perfectly right, then he should get credit for it. I don't know. I'm a generous man. I'd be tempted to say again what he
Tommy
said.
Tommy the judge.
Tell me again what his answer was. What Alex said.
The album is called Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. The song is just called Ziggy Stardust.
See, all
Alex's answer is Ziggy and the Spider from Mars.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I can't accept that, Alex. If you would have had all the pieces there, I probably could have taken it. But good effort. You knew what he knew the answer. He just.
So of course the answer is Ziggy Stardust is the song. David's answer was Perry Knocked Over the Table, which is incorrect. And so Tom, David holds on. David is victor for round two. Thank you both for playing. Thanks. The fabulous prizes.
David
for you.
David wins 50-0. I'm sorry, Alex. I should have let you only bet 24. You would have held on to your second place position. Now you have to share it with Trevor.
For the record, I would have accepted that answer, but you know I'm Canadian. So
yeah, but you
care.
Exactly. Yeah, you Canadians are pushovers.
I know it's Ziggy Stardust.
David, hey, can I get a plug for my band, John?
Sure. What's your band, David?
We're called Circus Battalion. We're going to be recording a single later this spring, and the B-side is actually going to be a song I heard on the podcast called The Bullfighter Dies. You can find us on Facebook.
Oh, Morrissey.
Oh.
The B-side is
it's
Morrissey
a punked up Morrissey cover, yeah.
Nice.
David, what's the website of that band?
Just facebook.com/circusbattalion. And we have a bunch of shows coming up in the Boston area.
Well, fantastic. Maybe we'll do an article for this and we'll post everybody's bands. David, do you want an Alternative Tentacles prize pack, an Asian Man Records prize pack, an Anxious and Angry prize pack, or a Punk News prize pack?
I'll take the Alternative Tentacles one.
Sounds good. Shoot me an email with your address and I will mail it out to you. And also, Alex, thank you for playing. You know, Dave's a formidable component. No shame in your performance. You did excellent. Alex, anything that you want to mention, any bands, anything at all you want the listeners to know about?
Not really. No, just thanks for having me.
Alex, keep up the good work. Thanks for playing. Play anytime. Alex, would you like an Alternative Tentacles prize pack, an Asian Man Records prize pack, an Anxious and Angry prize pack, or a Punk News prize pack?
Let's go Anxious and Angry.
Fair enough. Okay, shoot me your address, and we will mail it on out to you. Both of you, thank you for playing, and this has been another installment of Punk's Point. And that was the episode of Punk's Points. You know, guys, we haven't played Punk's Points in, I don't know, about 2 years, maybe, something like that.
I have never been on when Punk's Points was on. That was fun.
John, we played Punk's Points fucking live. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I know. I couldn't make it. One of these shows, now that John's like the Billy Graham, or who's the guy who used to put on all those shows in San Francisco?
Isn't Billy Graham like the preacher?
Yeah, well, it was the guy who did all the shows at like the Fillmore in San Francisco.
Bill Graham. That's Bill Graham.
Bill Graham. Yeah. Bill Graham, Billy Graham, whatever. Billy Graham just died. But, you know, John's like the Bill Graham of Philadelphia. One of these days, I will get over there to one of his shows.
There have been early, I don't want to jinx it, but there have been early ruminations and rumblings of Summer Soiree number 2. And hopefully you'll be able to come out for that, Tom. And it should be a good time.
It's just, you know what it is? I do a lot of traveling to go to shows in around the Midwest, but to go that far, like I'd like to make it into a nice vacation for, you know, take my wife and stuff. But she's just, you know, Philadelphia is super low on her list of places she wants to go. So we'll see what we can do. The Liberty Bell is just not that big of a seller, John.
Well, you got cheesesteaks, you got pizza, you got Wawa, you know.
John, Tom, you got to get on Wawa.
That's I never even talked to her about the various gas stations. You're right. Maybe I've been taking the wrong approach all along.
Well, listen, it's been a little bit of a slow week but in the punk rock world in general. But there's been a couple notable stories. You know, we used to do a little bit more wacky. I guess it was because when I had a little bit more freer time, we would do wackier stuff on the podcast, like Punk's Points, the dating game. Should we bring back the wackier stuff, or do people just want to hear us just bullshitting like we usually do?
I feel like a couple episodes ago, we put out a mail call to people to write us in and tell us what they like on this show. And I haven't heard that mail yet. So if there's a particular thing you do or do not want on the Punk News podcast, write us and tell us. Or else we're going to keep doing the shit you hate.
I just think it's just best just to be totally unpredictable. Fly by the seat of our pants.
Well, we got episode 400 coming up, and I haven't begun any work on that whatsoever, so who knows what's going
to happen. Yeah, that's like a month away, John. A month away.
I hear you. But speaking of things that are here right now, NOFX have released their first song in about, I don't know, a year and a half or so. It's called There's No Too Soon If Time Is Relative. It kind of sounded like a demo by Fat Mike, but it might have been a full band track. It's unclear. It's definitely got a raw sound to it. The song is basically about Stephen Hawking passing away and Stephen Hawking in general. And honestly,
you think, or do you think they just kind of shoehorned it in because of the timeliness of it?
Oh, I think they just wrote it and recorded it. We'll get in that in a minute. But honestly, at least in the comments section, it upset a lot of people. But I can't tell if they were upset or they just wanted to act like they were upset. Tom Trauma, we'll throw it off to you.
That's the world we live in. You can never tell if anybody's upset or if they're just pretending to be upset. I generally think people are insincere about being upset most of the time. The song itself, on the other hand, it was a B-side. You know, it wasn't their best work. It wasn't horrible. But is that what you're asking me? What I thought about the individual song?
What do you think about the song? And it does make fun of Stephen Hawking's physical ailments. Stephen, I don't know.
You know, name. I listened to it one time, and I was just the jam was just okay. So I guess I didn't pay that much attention to the lyrics. So
really?
I'm usually doing two or three things at once. So I guess I have to pay more attention to it.
Well, Adam White, but what was your take on this track?
Oh, I don't know what I feel like they're like swing and a miss. Like there was an attempt, I guess. So on the one hand, I sort of appreciate that NoFX is trying to offend, right? Like they're trying to
I really do have to go back and listen to this. I'm just totally out of it.
Well, I mean, so basically this is a song, Tom, if you've never heard it before, which apparently you haven't.
I did. I listened to it one time. I swear. I listened to it in my phone while I was sitting in my easy chair one time.
Well, okay, so it is a song that basically mocks Stephen Hawking in a way that is, like, I don't think intended to be mean, but is intended to be sort of like crass and offensive in that sort of NoFX way, where it's, I think, actually, you know, it's trying to get a rise out of people. But the issue here is that it's not very good, right? And I give Mike a lot of credit and a lot more rope, I think, than a lot of people do. But like Mike sounds like shit here, and it does come off as either a rush or a B-side or potentially, like, I'm trying to sort out the motivation for it. I almost feel like it was something that they had sort of kicking around, you know, saved in a Bandcamp file somewhere that was just like a goofy piece of demo. And then when Hawking died, and then when Hawking died, they were like, holy fuck, Mike, remember that dumb, you know, Stephen Hawking thing that you recorded? So they took it and they threw it at an admittingly incredibly clever track on it, title on it, and then hooked it up on YouTube, right? And I think that's what they kind of went for. It was like an opportune thing, because if you take away any of the potential criticism that this is, you know, this is ableist or that this is insulting people with ALS, like if you put all that like potentially problematic stuff aside, right? It's pretty clever in a, you know, NoFX trying to offend way. But I don't know, like just like Mike sounds like tired and scratchy on it. Like it, I think it's just it's not, you know, it's not something that they went into the studio and, you know, did at the top of their game. I'll give it, you know, I'll put that on it. So yeah.
Isn't it funny how NoFX, and I think it might be because Mike has so much power in the punk music industry, if you will, they can kind of get away with whatever. You know, I look at the jokes, you know, seen them play and they make jokes that are clearly jokes, but if the Dickies were to make it or the Queers were to make it, you know, they literally would get run out of punk rock and not even be allowed to play it like politically correct venue. Use, but Mike gets away with it for some reason. I remember seeing him a few years ago when he said, oh, all the guys down in front are in wheelchairs. How come they let all the lazy people sit in the front? And I know he was kidding, but seriously, do you think he'd get away with it if he wasn't Mike? You know?
I mean, I
like Fat Mike. I'm not getting down on Fat Mike. I just say he seems to get away with a lot more crap than a lot of.
Well, I think
it's because he wields a lot of power and people are scared of him.
Well, but I don't think people are scared of them. I think that in general, like when NoFX is good, NoFX is really good. And even on NoFX records that are by most people's measures, like a bad NoFX record, there's always like two or three songs on there that just fucking rip, like that are just like really good punk songs. Right. And them being sort of like crass and offensive has really been like part and parcel with the whole brand that they put together for forever, like up until now. Right. And there's never been a moment where they haven't drawn on that and they haven't achieved that. And they, more than I think any other band that I listen to, manages to do that in a way that at least still shocks me. And I've got to give them that, where I'll go and I'll listen to I'll listen to something like Pump Up the Volume, like that record. And, you know, there's a lot of songs on there that I just think are like just like really great punk rock songs. But then there'll be something like My Vagina that's on there where I'm just like, wow, like this makes me uncomfortable to listen to. Like this is a level past being kind of like, you know, fuck you punk rock, to being actually challengingly offensive punk rock. And you know, I wouldn't want my kids or my wife or anything walking into the room while this song is playing. So I will give them that. Like, they can totally reach that level.
The last album had that Transvest Light song on it. I mean, this is literally like one of the hot button issues in the world and the punk scene and everything else. And he's making sort of a half kidding song about,
but he's a cross dresser. You know,
no. I know he is. And the fact of the matter is, like I said, it's not really offensive, but people are so easily offended nowadays.
Yeah. So I will give them credit for like being willing to go and be offensive and stuff like that. It's just the problem with this song, and I don't actually have, I mean, if you look at the Punk News comments, there are people actually complaining that this was ableist or whatever like that. And like, I don't know. I don't think that's exactly what's going on here. This really seems like they're, you know, at a moment where everyone is, you know, lauding the life of Stephen Hawking, NoFX is going to sneak in and throw some shade on him. Just not because there's any particular problem with Stephen Hawking, but just because it's like a, you know, if you're going to go piss on everyone's parade, you may as well do it when they're all at the parade, right? So I get that. It's just like, it's not very good, and I think that's the worst crime of this song, is it's not very good.
I wonder if it's purposely, like, you guys seem to think that this was something they had lying around and they modified it. I think one day Mike just woke up and saw that Stephen Hawking, because at the end of the song they put, like, when it was recorded. It was, like, the day that Stephen Hawking died or something, or the day after, something like that. 2/10/18, and Stephen Hawking died, like, what, I don't know. Was this recorded before Stephen Hawking died?
Let's see here. Let's ask Wikipedia, which is never wrong.
It's a little suspicious if they already knew he was going to die before he died.
No, he died on March 14th. He died on the 14th.
So it's got nothing to do with his death. They just didn't have it lying around, did they? Oh, wow. That's weird.
Or maybe he knocked off the... Yeah, I don't know. Who knows, man?
I think that they recorded it, and then they...
Record the lyrics real quick.
Well, no, I think that they even had the lyrics done. I'd be more willing to bet they had the lyrics done, and that's why Mike sort of sounds kind of subpar on this. I think that they had it kind of sitting in the can. They weren't going to do anything with it. But then, you know, here's the thing. Like, if you are a punk rock band, particularly a you know, old school offensive punk rock band, right? Like, you're a part of your whole shtick is that you want to get people outraged, right? And you have a song that mocks Stephen Hawking, and then Stephen Hawking dies. Like, it is too tempting to not go put that up, and I don't fault them for that. It's just that, you know, in the grand spectrum of NoFX songs, this is sort of at the bottom.
The point, I think it's supposed to be, even like, I know, I realize the lyrics are kind of shocking, but I think it's supposed to be bad sounding too, because the video prominently starts with number one Fat Records bestseller. So I don't think they're actually like saying like Mazda would be like, you know, the number one seller of midsize sedans. Like, I think they're like saying this is so terrible that we're the most popular group there is. So I think they're, I think if for the past, you know, 10 years or 5 years, Mike's made it a point to, I guess, be punk in an era when punk has been normalized. So he wants to bring it back to an edgy, provocative, or shocking, or something that stimulates some kind of thought. And so I think one of the ways they're doing this is by purposely releasing an offensive but also a terrible-sounding song. I kind of think that's the point. We're talking about it, and it is causing some contemplation. So I think that was the goal, if you will. I don't think NoFX is really precious about having a bulletproof discography, as is clear, you know?
No, that's been clear for quite a couple decades now, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I get all that, and I don't disagree with it, but at the end of the day, like, I don't want to listen to this song again. So.
Oh, I don't know. Polish it up and put it on a B-side or something. It'll be all right.
Well, listen, that is the beauty of the internet. Like, if you just want to do something stupid and wacky, you can do it, you know?
I mean, the bigger question of this is, like, and they lampshade this in the title because they say, like, too soon in the title, right? So they're preempting the argument that this is out of line by being so close to the death of the man, right? But is this a valid thing to satirize right now, or does this cross some sort of line? I mean, and I guess tied to that is, you know, is this just NoFX, you know, taking someone that is being held on a pedestal and taking them down a peg for fun, or is this actually ableist? Like, is this does this insult more than Stephen Hawking, but insult like a class of people who should not be insulted, as the Punk News commenters were alluding?
Punk News commenters are a bunch of thin-skinned. I can't think of a word.
That's ableist, Tom. You're making fun of people that have thin skins.
That's a medical condition. They have thin skin.
All right. So anyway, speaking of people with thin skins, Blink-182 is doing the Tom Jones and Elton John thing. They're doing a Las Vegas residency, which was kind of surprising. I'm pretty sure this is the first punk Las Vegas residency. In May, June...
Billy Idol.
Good point.
I would call Billy Idol punker than Blink-182 any day, personally.
I certainly would, too. I agree. Tom, you should have been contested on Punk's points. So anyway, they've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 dates in Las Vegas. You spread throughout the summer and into the fall. Is this the death knell of the band? Is this just a business move?
It's money grab, dude. It's a money grab.
Ooh. Adam,
sorry, did I lose you?
No. I'm.
Adam's like, Blink-182 would never do anything just for money.
Yeah, I'm not. I was just wrestling with my inner Blink fan to try to figure out what they were into.
You still have an inner Blink fan?
No, not really.
That inner Blink fan should probably get a heavy sack beating.
I don't. That one died. He died a long time ago. Rest. This is actually, it's been very liberating to me that there has been this sort of like postmodern internet Blink-182 revival fandom that I've seen crop up. And I mean, it's partly because of the Blink-155 podcast, which is a comedy podcast that a lot of people really enjoy that talks about Blink. But like a lot of people that I would have never thought to have mentioned this band ever have, you know, started to have conversations about them that betrays their fandom more than it does their fandom of just that podcast. Because it's not just like, haha, this podcast is funny. It's I see a lot of people getting in actual conversations about Blink. And there's a lot of them that are doing it. Podcast producer Greg, you're one of them. And I'm just I'm amazed by the amount of people that have, like, I've seen having like reasonable Blink-182 conversations that I would have never expected necessarily to be in that world or in that fandom. So I am not. There was a point in my life when I was like 16 or whatever, and I don't even know what age I was, whatever. When, you know, I had a few months in a summer where I was a Blink-182 fan, and then I had to dump them for very teenage reasons, I feel. And I never came back. It's not something that I've held on to like a weird guilty pleasure, like a lot of ska stuff from the era. It's just like, it's just out of my mode of thinking. Like I don't want to listen to them. I don't have any particular, you know, drive to revisit them or think about them or anything like that. So yeah, I don't know. So them playing a residency in Las Vegas has about as much relevancy in my general music cosmology as Celine Dion doing a residency in Las Vegas. So, you know, good for them if they're getting paid, I guess. But, you know, I don't give a shit.
Well, speaking of things I do give a shit about, Tsunami Bomb, they're recording new material. This is the first material that they're recording since reuniting. Tsunami Bomb is currently, when Tsunami Bomb first reunited, they were in a modified version of their original lineup. They don't have singer Agent M in the band, and people say, well, it's not the real Tsunami Bomb without Agent M. But what people don't know is actually Agent M wasn't in the original version of the band. So when they first reunited, it was all the original members plus new singer Kate. So they had two singers, Oubliette and Kate. And now some of the other original members have left now. So now Tsunami Bomb is in a modified version of the original band with some new people, some old people. Technically, though, it has the two founding members, Dominic Davi and Oubliette. This is their first new material since reuniting. They're working on 6 tracks, and they might do 6 more later on in the year. They're doing an East Coast tour, and I will be there, and that should be fun. I'm not usually that into this kind of music. I guess you would call this pop punk or 90s punk or that kind of a thing. But I saw Tsunami Bomb live with Kate, the singer, and Oubliette and Dom, and they were great. They're great. I highly recommend seeing them live, and I'm excited to check out the new material next. I guess one of the interesting things about Tsunami Bomb is they I would say, successfully, although maybe some people would disagree, successfully have navigated the reunited band without their most famously known singer. Or have they?
I feel like they got flack initially, but they've been just sort of like dutifully playing shows and being a band. And a lot of that criticism seems to have sort of evaporated, which is good, because I mean, when you look at their situation, you know, this is one of these bands where like M wasn't necessarily integral to what they were doing. Like she was, of course, like a major part of it, being the vocalist. But you know, there were other founding members. There was, you know, still a desire to kind of have that band going, and it definitely was never. And even when Tsunami Bomb was around in their first incarnation, it never felt like. It felt like they always felt like a band and not a pop band. I think that makes a difference. Like, John, I'm probably going to rile you up here, but like, if, you know, No Doubt could not go record without Gwen, and it'd still be No Doubt. Right. And at the same, right. But at the same point, if Gwen, and this is where you're going to go crazy about this, if Gwen went and fired the rest of that band and hired a bunch of ringers and started touring as No Doubt, 98% of the universe would not care. Right. So, but this is a different kind of thing, is that I don't think, you know, they didn't have the same level of fame. I don't want to equate the two things, but that never would have happened with Agent M and with Tsunami Bomb. So, you know, I'm happy for them that they're doing their thing, or they've managed to kind of like put it back together. That's fine. That's cool. I'm down. I have not encountered too much of the new lineup of Tsunami Bomb at all. So I should probably go check some of that out. I did see them live at a Warped Tour in 99 or 2000 or something that was, you know, upwards of almost 20 years ago at this point. So it's been a while.
Tom, is there any band reunion that would surprise us at this point? Is there any punk band that if they reunited, we'd be surprised about?
It would still be the Dead Kennedys.
Ah, good answer. Good answer.
And of course, like Rollins and Greg Ginn, or gosh, I'm getting old. I can't remember what's the original saying. Keith Morris and Greg Ginn. Those would be the two to me. Now that Danzig and Doyle are Danzig and Jerry only have Kiss to Made Up, there's really only a couple big ones.
I think that was the ultimate one. I mean, like I think of all the band feuds, I think Danzig and Jerry Only was the biggest. You know, maybe Jello and
the reason I would say the Misfits is the Misfits legacy has been more tainted to a certain extent because they've sold every single thing with Misfits junk pressed on it. I know the Dead Kennedys have been existing again since the mid 90s and been kicking around, but you know, it's not like you can buy a, like, you know, Dead Kennedys mug at Sears like you can with, you know, all the Misfits crap. So, but I don't know, but there's, you know, it's, you guys are in your mid 30s. I'm in my mid 40s. We're at a point in our lives where we're willing to pay for that kind of nostalgia to a certain extent, or we're willing to pay for that type of experience. And as punks get older, it's only going to get worse.
Well, I actually think we're at the height of reunion culture, at least in the punk scene. I think it's going to go down. And because as we saw on Punk's Points, a lot of younger people don't really care about the old school punk bands. Adam White and I are kind of
I don't consider Blink 182 an old school punk band, John. That's what makes me want to jump off the tallest building.
When Adam White and I were coming up, like there was a thing is like. You would never admit to not knowing something like oh, you don't have Crass's fifth album, then you're not a real punk. Oh, you don't have this weird bootleg of Black Flag, you're not a real punk.
Penis Envy is the only real statement about misogyny and punk.
Right. The point being is all the punks would demand that all the other punks knew every single little nook and cranny about punk rock. And after Adam White and I, that sort of collapsed in on itself, and a lot of younger punkers kind of flaunted it. They don't know the early stuff, and they're like, well, I don't know about the early stuff, I don't care, you know, I care about what's happening
that's very punk rock, right? Kill your idols.
So there has been, I guess, reverse polarity in the
tide. I don't know if we've reached peak. I think that the 90s bands reuniting, we may maybe have seen it with the 80s bands because we're 30 years later now, but I think the 90s band, I think the more of it's still to come.
I mean,
the Epitaph bands.
Something. But the problem with all those bands is that they can't stay broken up. It's like that. There's so much temptation to.
It's the only way they know how to make a living, Adam.
Well, I mean, and I don't. Hey, I mean, they're not making a living, right? but I mean, there are bands playing reunion shows frequently that broke up 4 years ago, right? And
yeah, they don't even give us enough time to give a shit to miss.
Right, them. like. There are bands that are breaking up and reuniting in the time in which non-broken up bands just take breaks between records, right? So and to me, that seems more the norm that type of thing is happening, where like a band will have played from, say, like 2004 until 2010, and then they broke up and now they're back together. And I mean, partly that is a factor of, you know, I feel like time is compressing itself because 2010 doesn't feel all that long ago to me, but you know, what is it? It's like 8 years. So yeah, I just,
2010 was 8 years ago. 8 years was also the time frame between the Beatles' first album and their last album.
I know, like the time is all fucked up, right? And in my head, whenever I hear about a band that's reunited that broke up in the 2000s, I don't really register it as all that interesting a reunion. But it's been 18 years. So
I had a trippy moment.
Well, you know, I've gotten to the point in my life, Adam, like I said, I'm older than you guys, but I'm at the point in my life where anything that happened after 2000, I can refer to it as a couple of years ago.
I had a trippy moment. I was at the used bookstore, with new and used bookstore, and they were selling reproduction concert shirts, reproduction vintage concert t-shirts, and it was shirts of tours that I went to, like, for real. You know? Like, ugh.
I don't know. I feel like we keep getting shit from some of our loyal listeners because we keep talking about how old we all think we are, but...
Definitely brought on staff for Sean. He's 9. But speaking of old people and speaking of their verse of reunions, 7 Seconds are breaking up. After 38 years as a band, 7 Seconds quite surprisingly broke up today. A lot of people were surprised by this. I wasn't surprised by this because I didn't know they weren't broken up. I thought they had been broken up and not broken up.
Well, they were a club headliner at Punk Rock Bowling.
And that's another shocking thing. They released
I think they said they had a European tour booked for the summer.
they released a statement, and the statement was a unusual statement for two reasons. The main purpose that they were breaking up, basically, they said were medical issues. Drummer Troy Mowat has a fractured vertebrae. Let's see, Steve Youth, they said, has his own medical issues, notably blindness in his left eye due to cataracts. And they go on to say that he also is struggling to maintain his sobriety. And then near the end, Kevin Seconds, who's basically who is the singer, he basically says that he was disappointed to break up 2 years short of a 40-year anniversary. But then he says, when the time came, I never wanted for us to do a big retirement tour, but I hoped we could do at least a hometown show before taking ourselves out. That is not going to happen. And then he says, we're done. We love and thank each of and every one of you for everything. When bands break up, we often see, like, you know, I guess what you call a positive statement, like, you know, we've had a great time, but it's time for us to end. Here, Kevin Seconds seemed to be really bummed out that the band is ending, yeah, and that, like, he had other plans. So
I'm sensing a reunion in 2 years and a 40th anniversary tour. After the drummer gets his back straightened out. And
the question I had is, like, would anybody even know if Seven Seconds didn't do anything for 2 years? Like,
yeah, you know, no, like, they're not that active.
So
they toured a couple years. They put out an album in 15, maybe, that was really quite good, and I know they toured behind it, but I'm sure, what's a tour for them? 15 dates? It's not like they're trekking across the state or across the country.
Like NDC didn't do anything for 2 years, but and then they came back and put out an album. You know what I mean? It's like no one would know if NDC broke up or didn't break up. I'm not dissing them.
I guess 7 Seconds is more of a real band, though. I mean, even though Kevin Seconds and the brother bass player are really the best known ones, apparently they've had the same lineup for a very, very, very long time. I didn't even really realize that.
I just,
because if Kevin Seconds had whoever behind him, I don't think it'd be really, you know, most punk bands from that era are one man bands.
Yeah. I was just surprised that instead of just not doing anything for 2 years, they said we're broken up and that's it. And I wonder if there's more to the story. You know, like, why not just cool off for 2 years, you know?
And maybe they will. Who knows? I mean, these things get reversed every day. But it was, yeah, I was a little surprised by it. The thing with them, of the bands from that era, they are still a force live.
The crazy thing is that, like, a lot of the latter day 7 Seconds stuff was really good. We're talking about compressed, like, post 2000 years. I was about to say that, like, Take It Back, Take It On, Take It Over was a recent album, but it was released in
99.
The 2005.
Was it that new?
So, okay. Well, I mean, on the one hand, that's still a while ago, but it seems new to me. But, like, that record rocks. Like, that is a fast. It's
really good. I'm looking up at that. I think that was 50. I think it might have been my album of the year that year, 2015.
2014, yeah.
First year I did a list for Punk News.
Yeah, so I mean, 7 Seconds, I feel that, like, they never got the glory that a lot of bands of their era did amongst, like, the people, and I don't know exactly why that is. They were definitely, like, you know, they were around and playing for a lot of those times, but I feel that, like, people still talk about bands like bands that had less output, but they'll talk about them in higher regard. Like, I think people, like, fawn more over, say, like, Adolescence than they do 7 Seconds, but
yeah, I mean, Adolescence, I mean, like, really had one truly great record, and that was
right
it.
Like, I mean, or even, and this could be a little bit controversial here, is, like, there was a long period where the Descendants didn't do shit, right? Right. But 7 Seconds just sort of just going, right? And just kept doing their thing and doing it, you know, pretty well. So, on the one hand, you know, sucks to see them fall apart, but, you know, age claims the best of us, I guess. So, you know, it's going to happen to them. It's going to happen to you, Tom.
Well, you know,
I feel it.
But yeah, no, it's, I mean, they have to be at least 10 years older than me. That puts them mid 50s, you know, and they're a hardcore band. They play fast. Some bands are better suited to age well, you know, like what the Rolling Stones do, that, you know, the bluesy rock and roll thing. Yeah, you can do that older. I you know, Slayer's retiring. I'm going to two both legs of their retirement tour.
Inglorious end, I'm afraid, for Slayer.
But the thing is, I'm glad they're retiring. You can only play at that level for so long. And you're right, it's not the same without Handman, but it'll still be good. And the lineup for those shows, I mean, it's like a traveling festival. There's so many bands, but anyway.
I mean, I think a big part of what I think is going to take them apart compared to what other bands have to deal with is the fact that, like, and this is obscured by time and the fact that they all use pseudonyms, is like Kevin Seconds and Steve Youth are brothers, like biological brothers, right? So to have for Steve to be like battling addiction or to be, you know, dealing with whatever other medical issues he is, you know, that's different than just, you know, a member of the band that you don't have that same level of personal connection with having those kind of issues problems.
Are not permanent necessarily. I mean, don't you ride it out? And yeah, that's the thing too. I know he's saying, well, this is the band. It's pretty much always been the band. It's supposed to be. Yeah. Look at Wikipedia. There's 14 former members of the band. You know, I mean, it's not that, I don't know how long these guys have been together. I think a long time, but
I thought Seven Seconds was a straight edge band.
They were.
Are they not now?
I mean, they were in that movement. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were associated with that movement in the early days. But John, I hate to bring it to you, but a lot of the straight edge guys like drugs and alcohol and screwing.
Well, listen, as long as Jeff Nelson.
I mean, I hate to. I don't want to blow your mind.
As long as Jeff Nelson's still staying true, I'm not worried about it.
My other guy, yeah. Yeah.
And Brian Baker, as long as Brian Baker's staying true.
He's not straight, is he still? What? I don't know. Listen, not my place to judge.
That about wraps up this podcast. Anybody want to play a song? Just send us out.
You know, we should probably play a 7 Seconds song, guys. I hate to say it, just in case they actually are broke up for good.
We should. What should we do? Okay,
gotta be young till we die, right?
All right, do it.
This is the irony. We're going to play 7 Seconds from their very first album, The Crew, their best album.
Covered by Brian Walsby.
Young Till I Die. 7 Seconds.
That was 7 Seconds. This about wraps up Punk News Podcast number 395. We brought back Punk's Points after about maybe three-year hiatus. I'm glad to have it back. We'll probably do some more wacky stuff in the future. We got episode 400 coming up. Tom Trauma, any last words, anything you want to leave the listeners with for this week?
No, bone up on your punk trivia, kids. John Gentile's got a deep well of knowledge that he's going to quiz you on.
Tom, you think the questions were too hard? You think they were too hard?
No, not at all. I don't. Well, like I said, it's just everybody has areas of strengths and weaknesses. Like me, the hip-hop connection thing, I mean, that's not my...
See, to me, the questions are always really easy, but that's only because I already know that.
Because you're tapping into your knowledge base, you know?
Yeah, like I would have done all right at the start there, but as soon as you're like, we're going to talk specifically about Bow Wow Wow for a while, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Well, that's just because I love the Bow Wow Wow. I realize is very obscure.
I mean, dude, if you would have been here, you would have seen me roll my eyes when the final question was about Crass. I could see that coming around the bend.
You did you know the answer to that?
I did not.
Oh,
I'm a Bowie fan, but a casual fan. I'm not a monster Bowie fan. But anyway, it was good. It was good times. More, lots of wacky hijinks to come yet, kids.
This has been a Valor Underground production. I am Greg Simpson, producer of this podcast. Hit me up if you want me to mix, master, or produce your podcast, even from afar. Or, you got a band you want to come record with me in scenic Lafayette, Indiana? Let's do it. Hit me up at greg@valorundergroundstudios.com.